Welcome to Smart Web Creators. In this podcast, you will listen to creators creating amazing things on the web and sometimes just me talking useful web stuff. I'm your host, Davinder Sinkanth. Let's get started. This is episode number 12 of the podcast. Creating online marketing system for website clients with Rhonda Adair. In this episode, we talk about marketing systems and a little bit about cats and dogs. Let's hear in. Before we begin, have you seen Created, a newsletter for creatives? The first issue is already out. Read that and sign up for future editions. Just go to smartwebcreators.com/created. Yes, it's created. Now let's begin the episode. Hi, Rhonda. How are you?
Good.
So is your puppy asleep now?
He should be sleeping. Yes, he was quiet.
Is it one, or because the images that you shared on Facebook had a lot of puppies there?
So I shared an image where we went to visit the litter. So that was 7 puppies in the litter. And then we just brought one of them home, and that is plenty. That's more than enough.
Okay. Before we get started with the technical stuff, why don't you give a quick introduction about your online life?
Sure. So my name is Rhonda Adair. I'm the CEO of Carvel Digital. I've had the company for, it'll be 6 years in January. And my online life, a brief history. I had a lot of retail and other kinds of jobs, and I was project managing for a very tiny startup. And I had a meeting with a developer, and I just had this revelation that, hey, that guy can work wherever he wants and, you know, doesn't have to deal with my boss all the time. And I don't know, it just looked like a better lifestyle. So I immediately went and started looking up how to become a developer. And ended up going back to school and getting a degree in web design and interactive media. It's officially my degree title. Mm-hmm. I don't do really anything design related. I went to design school to figure out that I don't want to be a designer. But I liked the tech part. I liked the actual making of the websites. And so I worked for an agency for a couple of years, and then I struck out on my own. Just starting out making WordPress sites for people, and then have evolved into digital marketing and focusing on really helping service-based business owners to level up their digital marketing and their business.
Cool, because first time I actually, you know, heard your story, or, you know, got in touch virtually via Kim Doyle's episode where you gave an interview, and there in the beginning, you mentioned culturally not fit or culturally misfit. And yeah. I guess that incident made you more independent and maybe forced you or pushed you to the entrepreneurship route.
It was always my goal to work for myself. And okay. So that incident was just the catalyst that meant it was time to go out and do that.
So all things happens for good, right?
Yep.
Okay. Now let's talk about, now you make a lot of websites for a lot of people, a lot of clients, and you are more of a person who builds website with the intention of conversion that results in profit for the end user client rather than just making a fancy website. So we'll talk exactly about the marketing system setups that you do for clients. So we'll focus on two types of clients. One would be a new business with no online presence, and the other would be an existing business with online presence, which is stagnant, right? So let's start with a new business with no online presence. Now, for example, I have a new business. I'm your prospective client. Say I have a hair cutting salon located in certain busy suburban area. Now I have an online presence. I have clients, but I have zero online presence. So what is the first thing you do when such a type of client reaches out to you to build the online presence for that business?
So I'm kind of moving away. Well, usually if someone's in their first year or two of business, they can't afford me, to be honest. But I do really feel for those people because there's so much potential for disaster when you don't understand online marketing. And so that's what really motivated me to create the course that I created, and it's called Working Websites. And just that first, there's six or seven modules in the course. And that first module is really everything I would tell somebody in that situation. So, people have this idea that that technology is too hard, that WordPress is too hard. And so they just go and they slap up, a Wix site or GoDaddy page builder that's not going to serve them. And so that was my attempt to really get people off on the right foot. And so it talks about what I call the eight pillars of online marketing. And so it's the things that you really have to have in place to be able to use your online marketing as a tool and to have it not be frustrating every time you try to do something with it. So things like making sure you're on the right web platform, which is WordPress in my opinion, making sure that you have password management, that you're not managing your passwords on sticky notes or, some kind of public spreadsheet. So things like that that are really foundational, and then going over some of the tools that you and I are familiar with that make WordPress so much easier for the quote unquote normal person, non-technical person. So using, a good page builder and having the right theme framework and things like that that are going to serve you when you're brand new and also are going to be able to grow with you. So that's And I have been experimenting with doing like a website in a day, and I've done a couple of those where, if you come to me when you have all your stuff together, which the first person who did this kind of begged me to do it, and she really had all her stuff together. She had her logo, she had design ideas, she had her content, and so we really between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. were able to just completely build her website together and launch her off. And so that's something I like to do because it's immediate and it has like immediate impact and value for the business owner, and really, gives them a sense of like legitimacy, and not like, oh, don't go to my website, when they're handing out their cards.
So how do you meet your clients? Like, do you meet them in person or you do everything online via emails or video calls?
I actually have quite a few clients who are local to me. So I have two different offices that I work out of. And so a lot of times I'll meet people locally. And especially, I spend the majority of my time these days doing paid discoveries with clients. So I'll do, either a couple of meetings or like maybe just a full day. And I love meeting in person because you just really get that personal connection and you can kind of pull things out of them. And people don't realize it, but when they're in discovery sessions, they're actually writing their content because they'll talk passionately about their business in a way that if you sit them down in front of a blank screen, they just freeze up. And so they love it when I tell them, halfway through, like, by the way, you're writing your content right now.
Because a lot of people would say, you know what, I don't want to meet a person in person because it's like waste of time. I will have to travel this, that. But like, even if a person starts with meeting people in person, they still expand to, globally and talking clients virtually. So do you plan to focus just on the local ones, or you also want to, expand beyond the boundaries of your region?
I have clients who are long distance, and I'm not really focused on one or the other. Like I take the people who are the most important thing is it a good fit? Like, am I sure that I can help them, and are they going to be a good client and have an understanding of the process and do what I tell them basically. So location's not necessarily a barrier. So I'm not necessarily looking for local. I live in the same town that I grew up in, and a lot of people know me. So it just happens that turned out that way. But I do a lot of Zoom calls as well. And, I had a day where I think I've spent a good 6 hours just doing video calls. Not all at once, but yeah.
6 hours is such a long time. I am done with
It
two
is a
hours
long
of,
time.
video calling because I just can't speak for that long.
Yeah. Well, most of it was listening, fortunately.
Okay, so let's talk about the basic marketing strategy. Now you've met the client, you've discussed the basic thing. So besides the proposal of having a website, what are other basic items in your marketing strategy for developing an online presence that would result in conversion for a client? You discuss and put it down on a paper.
I've done a lot of studying about this, a lot of courses, a lot of mentors, and what I've found works
big,
the best.
Big ticket courses.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just really always go back to keeping it super simple. Mm-hmm. So in order, marketing is really, you need to be able to get, you need to have a good offer, right? If you have a terrible offer, then nothing matters. But if you have a good offer and you can get the attention of your market, and then you can turn that attention into dollars, like those are the steps that you need to be able to do. And so a lot of times, especially for, a lot of times people have an established business, they'll come to me because their Squarespace or their Wix that they put up in a hurry isn't serving them anymore. And what they need the most is they have some kind of presence or authority in their sphere already, but that's not reflected in their online presence. And what they need is that when someone that they know recommends them and that person goes to check them out, they need their website to also back up the fact that, yes, they're an authority and they know their stuff and, you should call them. And so making the website reflect, the badassness of the actual of the business owner is the first step. And then just kind of intentionally crafting that process of how do people come into your business and what do they need to know in order to take the next step? So you're never selling, A to Z, you're just selling A to B. So it's like, oh, hey, get on my email list so we can keep talking, or, get into my chatbot or whatever the form, the form doesn't actually matter. So step one, start the conversation, understand how you're going to nurture those people, and keep connecting with those people so that when they're ready for your product or service, that they automatically come to you. And I've been doing that for, over probably 2 or 3 years. And it's to the point where now when people come to me, I don't have to sell them because they know me. They've been following me for a year. They've been watching my videos. They know what to expect and they're just ready to go.
Yeah, message is very important. I just got a request to do a website audit recently, and I just opened that website. I've not recorded the audit or not done the audit, but you know what? When you open the website, what the first page says, the homepage, the testimonials at the top, that's about it. And I don't know what the business is all about. People are like, so why would you show testimonials in the header area? And that
goes great at what?
Yeah, I know you're great, but at what? I'm still yet to find out. My next question is kind of, on the same league, because a new business is new to a lot of things. So what methodology or brainstorming process do you use to build an ideal customer profile, which later becomes the center point of your marketing strategy?
I do a lot of stuff that, a lot of stuff I learned from Digital Marketer as well as other places, but really about, the best marketing is based on you knowing your target audience really well. So understanding the pains and the problems and what are they, worried about when they go to sleep at night, and what's the painful problem that is going to motivate them to buy from you. And the best marketing talks about those things, not about oh, we're great and we can do this and we can do this. And nobody cares unless you can solve their problem. And so the discovery process is really digging into that, saying okay, what's going on with this person? Where are they hanging out? What are they, what are they willing to do to solve this problem? How painful is it? And what's on the other side, right? Because people are either moving away from pain, which is 80% of us, or towards something good, or a little bit of both. So really dialing into those two things and then being able to speak about that, anywhere that you're, whether that's a Facebook Live video or a social, Twitter post or whatever, just as long as you are dialed in on those pains, then people will be attracted to that because they'll start to understand that, oh, you can fix this for me.
Yeah. Away from pain into gain, because that's the normal workflow. So in the journey of you converting a fresh lead into a paying client, How do you decide on the primary milestones in that journey for that client and its online setup that you do?
Yeah, so most of my clients are service clients, and so it's a pretty straightforward. Either they're going to opt in for a lead magnet, they're going to get an email list, and they're going to call or schedule an appointment. So, for instance, I have a bookkeeper. Very straightforward. It's like if she gets on the phone with somebody, they're going to buy from her, because if you've decided you don't want to do bookkeeping anymore, then you're just like, and you find someone who's qualified, then you're gonna buy. So it's really just that simple, like getting those leads in the door, getting them onto an email list or getting them into contact. Or in some cases, people just we did a test, and the headline that worked the best was just like, "Hey, get a bid. Like, just tell me how much this is gonna cost so I can do it." So we think we have to go through this like whole thing, but some people are just like, "I just want someone who can do this, and I will gladly hand over my money." It's really straightforward.
You know, this reminds me of one very good quote that one good friend of mine, Toddy Jones, he's a copywriter. He just mentioned it like yesterday only. Be clear, not clever with your headline.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
So in marketing strategy, you know, the content part is very important. So how do you decide on the pillar or the cornerstone content of the business in question?
I don't even know if I decide that in advance, because my pillar post is just something I wrote because I was pissed off. And I was so just sick of wasting time talking to people about this one thing that just kept coming up. And it's like, my whole, if you go to my website, my lead magnet is all about like, get the tools that make things easy, right? And so in the beginning of my career, I had to do whatever, right? I would do whatever the client said. And then as I got more experience, I was like, no, you're gonna do what I say because I'm the expert. But so I wrote this post, and I was just pissed off because I'm like, look, I'm not gonna use this thing. You can work with me, or you can use this thing. And that is my pillar post, and it's like for the last 4 years, probably the most read and visited page on my site. And so, you can try to decide what is like the pillar thing. The approach that I usually take with clients is, what is the thing you get asked the most? What's the conversation that you have over and over? Like, let's just put that down so that you can stop repeating yourself, or so that new people can find it, that don't speak to you in person. So that's always where I start. And the other thing is like mistakes that people make. Like, that's just an endless supply of content right there. And almost every email I send out, every blog post, is somebody's doing something, and I want to save somebody else from that pain. So that's where a lot of my content comes from. And that's, I do a 10 by 10 content generation exercise where we generate 100 content ideas in about 90 minutes. And everybody's like, this is never going to happen. And then it always happens, and they're amazed. And I'm like, that's because when you start thinking about this from the perspective of serving your clients and trying to help them, it becomes really easy to generate ideas, because you know what people are doing that's not good for them, and try to tell them the opposite.
Cool, but it's good because it's a very dangerous situation when your client becomes your designer or developer or he selects your tool. A lot of people make that mistakes. Even I made it like maybe 10 years ago, but you learn in the process. You know, you put your puppy to sleep, but my neighbor's dog has started barking now.
That's all right.
Because we have so many dogs in here, like every second house has a dog, and those are like big ones. He's a German Shepherd. The next door house, they have a Labrador, so we have all kinds of dogs here. So when one starts barking, everyone starts barking.
Yeah. Thankfully, my puppy is not really reactive to barking. He's pretty chill.
Well, he's a puppy, right?
Yeah.
Let him grow up.
Yeah, no, we keep a pretty tight rein on him.
Okay, sticking to the content writing part, who writes the content when you deal with your clients? Like, do you have a content writer on your team, or do you do it yourself, or do you let the client do it himself and you just manage the process? No.
Man. Mostly I won't bring in a copywriter, especially if it's If it's the website, I will absolutely bring in a copywriter. I actually made the mistake, even though I knew better, I made the mistake of letting a recent client, she was, you know, she had lots of experience writing web copy for other projects and other companies that she'd been in. And so I was like, okay. And then after 2 months of not getting content, I was like, you know what? That was my bad. I'm sorry. I'm taking this back. And we brought in a writer, and now it's, you know, it's totally smooth. So, you know, when I started doing that is when projects started launching on time and on budget. So I like to do that. If it's things like social or email, I will generally teach clients how to communicate with their audience, because even if you're going to hire somebody and you're going to outsource your marketing, and I just think as a business owner, you are the person who knows your product or your service. Like, you are the brand. And if you don't yourself learn how to communicate with your market, then that's just going to be a barrier for the entire life of your business. So I'm really big on, you know, teaching people to fish and teaching them, you know, how to, whether it's writing or video, how to connect with people in that way, because it's expensive. Like, you know, if your business is doing great and you can afford that, that's great. Yeah. But like, what if you have a downturn, or what if, you know, whatever happens, like if you're dependent on someone outside of yourself to be able to communicate about your business in a way that attracts your market, that's a really vulnerable place to be. So I like to help people learn how to do that.
Kind of curious, what's your agency setup? Like, do you work alone, or do you have employees, or you have like trusted contractors? What's the mix you follow?
It's a mix of mostly contractors. So I have a team that does support. I spent a long time doing like the support and maintenance part. Mm-hmm. So I have a team that's really skilled at that. And then I actually just hired two new people. So I've gone a couple of rounds, like trying to hire people, like having it go badly, and then going back to going it alone. And I have to say, like, getting a puppy was probably one of the best things that happened to my business, because I was like, I'm not going to have any time. And so I was really very intentional through this last hiring process. And I got two awesome people who, despite me being sort of a basket case of, okay, here's the next thing to do, you know, because I'm trying to wrangle the puppy and wrangle all the new clients and stuff. So they really are like jumping in and kind of helping to get everything organized, because I'm a, you know, if you read some of the posts on my blog, I'm very big on organization, process, mm-hmm. documentation. And so they're kind of helping me like get things shipshape, because even if you think as a business owner, okay, like I've gotten this out of my head and I've written it down or made a video in such a way that someone else can take it, when you actually bring people into your business and they're like, well, what about this? What about this? So it's really great. So yeah, I have two people, and then I have support, you know, on the development side, and then I will bring people in for things like copywriting.
Yeah, because finding right people for right things is really difficult. It demands a lot of experience, and most importantly, patience.
Yeah.
So after your marketing strategy is done, content strategy is done, the website has launched, how do you funnel in fresh leads into the business? Do you just rely on the implemented content strategy, which obviously is a slow and long drawn process, or do you use faster methods like paid ads, sponsorships?
Mix of both, okay. Especially depending on the age of the business, right? If it's a brand new business, then you're probably going to want to jumpstart things with ads much sooner. If it's someone who has a following, then you might be able to do a longer, you know, campaign of just ramping up kind of organic marketing. But I think those two things are very intertwined, especially when you're talking about Facebook, which is, you know, one of the more popular ad platforms. Mm-hmm. I do a mix of organic marketing that kind of bolsters the ads. Like, whether somebody sees you because you posted in a group, or, you know, you posted on your profile, or you posted on your page, or whether they see you for the first time because, you know, you have a sponsored post, the process is still the same.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if someone sees an ad, they're going to go check you out. and see like what, you know, what are you doing in your space? And so I'm constantly, you know, posting sort of just leadership and authority posts to kind of round out that whole picture. And people want to do business with a real person. And so I've coined the term puppy marketing, hashtag puppy marketing, because a lot of, I can actually trace my most recent client directly back to puppy marketing. So, because I was, the picture you were referring to earlier with the lots of puppies in the litter, I was putting that thing everywhere. Like there was no place in my business life or personal life that was safe from that picture. And so then people would, you know, start a conversation. Oh, I love dogs, this and that. And we get to talking about business. And then I connected with an attorney who was like, she helps other attorneys outsource, you know, their work so they can run their business better. She was like, oh, I've been looking for somebody, you know, on the web and marketing front to come and like speak to my group. So I ended up speaking to her group and, you know, getting a good lead out of that. So yeah, puppy marketing.
Yeah, it works. Even I noticed those puppies. And, you know, coming back to your Facebook ad strategy, yes, because normally, you know, you just use a normal post as a advertisement there. So it looks like a normal post. It's just, it will have sponsored, but some people would, you know, put a weird photo and weird message because they have that back of their mind, you know, I'm going to use this post for the advertisement. So that doesn't click most of the time. Obviously, if you're going to, because sometimes you see ads with really weird photos, like, and it won't even relate to the, you know, stuff that's written under it. So you love Facebook ads. What about other platforms? Do you use other ad platforms like Google AdSense or Instagram ads or even LinkedIn ads is getting popular?
Yeah, no, I don't do any of that just because I only have so much room in my head for like there are people whose whole business revolves around LinkedIn ads.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna try to be all things to all people. And the nice thing about marketing is that marketing is marketing is marketing. And so if you understand how to speak correctly to your audience, the platform almost doesn't matter. Like if you're hitting the right pain points and you're resonating with people, you can do that on Facebook. You can do that on Instagram. You can do that, you know, on LinkedIn. So yes. The principles of the organic marketing can really go anywhere.
Because you know what, when you click through some high ticket course sales page, and guess what? Next minute you are trolled with that ad on every platform, you know, be it Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. I've seen this has happened. Like they hire like big ticket people to, you know, push their ads to every platform. Guess what? They have money also because they are selling like $1,000 or $2,000 per person to, you know, get into the course. So that works. So what about the social media strategy? Like you also manage Facebook page, like Twitter profiles, LinkedIn profiles for the clients?
Nope. I'm pretty focused on, you know, my process is the discovery, getting the website platform right, if that's something that needed, which usually it is, and then really dialing in the messaging. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'll manage like Facebook ads. But if somebody really wants, you know, focused social media help, but somebody sort of like run their social media platforms, then I'll refer them out. Okay. Because again, like Melaine, you know, like I've done the thing where I spread myself too thin and, it just doesn't work out well.
And what about email marketing?
Email definitely is my lane. Like that's really one of the things I enjoy a lot. And, I started really doing it seriously about 3 years ago and, you know, having that consistency and building those relationships has really, I've really seen the benefit of that. So I love doing email marketing and, you know, back to the, you know, teaching people thing, I won't necessarily write the emails for them, but I will connect on strategy and we'll map out like the outline of, okay, here's the points that you need to hit on to connect with people. But I haven't gone to actually writing emails for people. I talked to one person about possibly doing that, but again, like I'm getting more into the role where I'm kind of managing other people doing the things. So We'll see how that goes. But I love email marketing. I love teaching people how to do email marketing. I love getting them over their fear of email marketing, like hitting send. You know, people get into their heads about it, and they have a lot of negative associations with it because there's a ton of bad email out there. And so I just kind of show them, like, here's what it can look like when it's good. And they know, because usually they've been on my list, and people actually, you know, I'll go into my CRM and someone will have opened my email 47 times. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, just call me.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. Like, I know some multiple times it's counted because that same email got opened on multiple devices, but 47 is like, they did open twice.
Something's going on. Yeah.
They've been checking again, again. What's the puppy strategy in here, right?
Right, exactly.
You know, and we talked about like Facebook ads, social media, and email list building. The latest thing to hit in this, you know, field is Facebook Messenger, you know, ads and Facebook Messenger marketing. Those people call themselves botpreneurs. I actually saw a webinar yesterday from Kim, and it is like amazing, but you know, you need little patience to get those things in your head, because it's not that easy, because you got to be a little human, because it's like conversational marketing. You need to, you know, say hi, and then person begins to call. It's really powerful if you do it the right way, but then it has a big learning curve. So after this, I think the other important factor is the SEO. Now, when you build a website, obviously you do on-site SEO setup. What about the off-site SEO setup? Like, do you get into building quality links for the client websites, like guest posting or partnerships?
You know, I haven't gotten into that, and it's mostly, it's that whole bandwidth thing, right? There's people where, you know, SEO is their entire thing. So I'll, you know, I have a few different people who are just really experienced experts in that. And so if that's something that people want, I can absolutely, like, you know, connect them. But usually we're getting, like, if we're getting results, you know, to me, if we're getting results with the social and the organic marketing and the ads, at that point they're too, because I work with service businesses, at that point they're too busy fulfilling. Like, they're trying to make sure their business doesn't break. And so so we don't usually even get to that point. And if they're doing the content thing well, I've had a few clients that just really, like, even before they came to me, they just really had content dialed in terms of being consistent and producing high quality content. If you just do that consistently over a period of time, those things will come. And so I haven't had anyone come to me where, like, that's the first thing, like, I really, really need to build backlinks, and because that's such a slow, it's such a long game.
Yeah.
And people need results faster than that. So I kind of focus on the things that work a little faster.
And you do on-site SEO, right? Like, when you build a website. What's your favorite plugin? Like, as Yoast?
Yep. And, you know, I've occasionally looked at other things, and, you know, I've seen people go on like anti-Yoast rants.
Yeah, but
like,
same here. I still come back to Yoast, you know. Actually, I never left it.
It works. And
but I do see their sales page. Oh, this feature is there. Oh, this feature. But then I ask myself, do I actually need those features, you know? Because in the end, you just need basic features. That Yoast free plugin has all of them, basically.
Yep. And, you know, if the client's doing their own, giving them something more powerful wouldn't help them. Like, just getting to the point where they're not intimidated and they're like, you know, have a good understanding of how that works.
Because majority of clients for SEO is like, I've installed the Yoast plugin, SEO is done. But that's not done. That's the beginning, you know. This is a classic case. Because, hey, Google can't see my site. I did install Yoast plugin. Now, what did I do wrong here?
What's happening? we do all that stuff to get them, you know, get them off on the right foot. But it's, I mean, that's kind of like the website itself. Like, people have this mentality that, like, oh, my website is live, I'm done. I'm like, no, you're at the starting line. Like, now people can see you. Like, what do you have to say?
And now it's the time to speak, right?
Yeah. And then they're like, I don't want to put myself out there. Like, it's a very, very common theme. And
Okay, yeah. Now let's move to evaluating the performance of the work that you've done for the client. So after how many days, weeks of the launch, do you get on with measurement and analysis of the performance of the executed work?
So this is something I definitely am constantly improving on, but analytics is something we set up just right away, and Facebook Pixel, and like building out those assets, I guess, if you will, because even if you're not looking at them right away, most people, especially if they're new or just relaunching, they're not going to have a ton of traffic right away. But it's having those things in place and then being able to go back and evaluate that data. The one client that I launched about a year and a half ago now, it was pretty obvious because they made their ROI basically for the website in 2 weeks, and they immediately went on to have, it was like 240% growth mm-hmm. over their season. So that was really like, it was evident and like, oh my God, we need to buy a new van because they're a shuttle company. And so it wasn't like, they weren't like, hey, we need to look at the report. Like, nope, they're like busy fulfilling. And so it was super obvious. And usually with service businesses, like, is the phone ringing? Is it not, And so I'm still looking for the perfect like dashboard. I've tried a few different things, but really just keeping it simple, measuring, how many leads, how many calls, how many customers.
And now let's talk about the other side. How do you deal with clients not happy with the achieved conversions as against projected conversions or plans?
So I'm actually pretty new to the marketing transition. So I spent all of 2017 like just teaching people like, okay, I'm not just developing anymore, I'm doing marketing. So thankfully I haven't had that issue on the marketing side. Like, everybody's happy so far, so that's good. But generally, I mean, I'm gonna make sure, like, my mission isn't to like take people's money. My mission is to help people grow their business. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure that they're getting a return on their investment, as long as they're cooperating and like doing the work, then I'm going to be all in and make sure like this is going to work.
So this was all about a new business with no online presence. Now let's talk about an existing business with a stagnant online presence. Now in this case, you already have a lot of data to make sense of things. So how do you collect and process that data to find the direction change that can help the existing business?
So I use a web audit tool to kind of evaluate where they're at right now. And that measures just a ton of different points in terms of their SEO, security, site speed, user experience. Are they missing calls to action? Do they not have a headline? Do they have testimonials at the top of their...
Or maybe puppy photos or cat gifs.
Or puppy photos. I mean, So we have a tool that helps us measure all those things and kind of present that to the client.
Is that a secret tool or something?
No, it's the web audit, my web audit.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's where we start. And then it's a lot about just talking to the business owner. Like when I do a strategy call, it's really digging in to figure out like what have they been doing so far? Mm-hmm. What have they tried? Like where are they trying to get to and why are they stuck? Like what's keeping them from getting there on their own? Mm-hmm. And then really figuring out like, okay, what's it going to take to get you to this goal? Like sometimes it's just 5 clients a month. Yeah. it's not unreachable thing, but they just don't know how to get there. They don't know how to create the system to get there. And so a lot of it, there's some of like, okay, what's your website doing? But almost all of the time, the block isn't the website. Like those things are so fixable. And what really needs work is, the mindset of the business owner, and making the shift to think about marketing the right way and think about online marketing the right way so that they're willing to invest to create the, you know, to do the process to get those results. And so it's a lot more business coaching than it is like, you know, evaluating SEO and backlinks. It's almost all like mindset stuff.
And in most cases, do you rebuild the whole marketing strategy, even a website, or prefer to tweak the existing assets?
I've almost always had to rebuild the website.
That's so bad, right?
I have one new client where I'm like, oh, you could probably use this for a while. He's like, no, we really want a new website. I'm like, okay, we'll rebuild the website. So yeah, you know, we always, and usually it's because, you know, whatever they have is kind of a technical nightmare to work with. And so a lot of designers and developers don't really understand marketing. And so they just want it to be pretty, or they want to use the latest, you know, fun code framework or whatever. And then it's like, that's not actually good for marketing. You have to be able to change things easily and test things out and you know, change headlines and A/B test. And so
yeah.
I have basically a document that's like shared guidelines between, you know, developer, designer, and marketer, so that everybody's on the same page with these are the goals. And when we make decisions, we do them in service of these goals, not because we want to use Node.js or whatever.
Yeah, because a lot of people get into this hole of, you know, which theme are you going to use? Are you going to use custom coded, or are you going to use a page builder? There are a lot of technical clients who will just dictate you, you know, you got to use this. And mm-hmm. Fortunately, now I'm in a position, I said no, because I use what I use, not what you tell me to use. In the end, you need a website, right? And it doesn't matter which platform you use, even a Wix or Squarespace website works if you have the right message there, right? Because it's just a website.
I've gotten to that point too, where I was in the middle of discovery with a client, and it was going really well. And then she said, oh, and I know what theme I want to use. And I said, oh, sweetie, that's not your decision. Like, things were going so well. Like,
but I'm paying for it. So you need to have some say in, you know, use this theme, right?
Well, you know, this is like the key difference, how you can tell someone, I think, who's, you know, less experienced or more experienced, is that someone who's less experienced will capitulate to clients because they don't want to make the client mad, or they don't want to. And you know, when you make that switch where it's like, oh no, you paid me to get a result for you, and you don't know what you're doing, which is why you came to me.
Exactly.
And so I'm very, you know, firm on that. And I think my content kind of speaks to that people know, like, look, if we work together, like, these are the things we're gonna do, and they're non-negotiable. So,
okay, in this, you know, evaluation of, you know, existing business with stagnant online presence, how important is the competitor analysis, or do you even do that, or it's not that important?
I kind of have toyed with a process for it. I think in the with the clients that I've had, it's not that important, because in the end, you know, I want to make sure I'm working with people that have really, really amazing offers. Mm-hmm. And so if you have that, you know, like, I have a photographer that I started working with, and, you know, photographers are a dime a dozen, right, in one sense. But what she actually does is so top shelf. It's so, you know, it's so far above what, you know, sort of the norm is for like hiring a photography, do your, you know, headshots or your senior photos or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, you know, everybody else is here and she's here. And so I'm not really concerned about like, let's analyze what everybody else is doing. I'm more concerned about, let's get the message out of what you're doing, because it's so amazing and people don't know about it. And so that's where my focus is.
Because some clients do a little bit of competitor analysis, and that analysis is just like, he has a slider, he has 5 pages, you give me 10 pages, you give me 2 sliders, that would be awesome.
Yeah, no, I think I used to be stuck in that space, and I'd have people like that come to me. But again, like, this is the beauty of content marketing, is by the time people come to me, they know that I'm not going to really respond to that.
Okay. Now let's talk about the pricing part. Now, I see you explicitly mention prices on your website. Now, do you stick with those prices for all types of projects, or do you use value pricing for a selected few?
I pretty much use value-based pricing. And I've found, you know, for the niche that I'm in, that those prices work as a starting point. And, you know, unless you have something super unusual, things generally fall in that range. But I do put them as starting points, just, you know, because until I do discovery process with someone, I don't know what they need. But also, you know, the beauty of niching down and figuring out, you know, working with clients with similar problems is that it does seem to, you know, be a similar process. So, and yeah, and I've gone back and forth about, you know, should put pricing on or not. But, you know, I just spent so many years with people coming to me saying like, oh, I have $500. What can you do for me? And I'm like, here's a horse. So, you know, it's just like, people need to know up front that yes, and it's an investment. And I had somebody who, you know, he wanted to do sort of like have me coach him. And it was a lower dollar per month coaching fee. And I am, you know, I'm constantly investing in, you know, learning and coaches and mentors. And so I recently made a big investment in my business and my learning. And what I realized is that, you know, if someone comes in and they have a big problem and they make a tiny investment, they're not going to be motivated to actually, you know, commit and do the work to solve the problem. And so I just told him, hey, you know, I don't want to help you drag this out. I want to help you fix it. So this is the investment. We'll work together for 3 months. We'll fix, you know, we'll build your marketing system. And he wasn't ready, which is totally fine. But I've just recognized, like, you know, you get what you pay for and people value things accordingly. And so if someone was like, hey, I, you know, here's this, I'd like to sell you this Tesla for, you know, 20 grand, you'd be like, what's wrong with it? So, yeah, took a long time to learn that lesson.
And do you offer monthly retainer plans?
I do, yeah.
And do you like only manage websites, or do you also, you know, constantly work with clients on their content and follow-up strategy?
That's part I'm more flexible on. So it's really based on what the client needs. But the things that would fall in there are things like content marketing strategy, Facebook ad management, email marketing strategy, things like that. So, but it's very tailored to the client.
And at what stage in your client communication process do you pitch for the monthly care plans? And what has been your conversion rate so far? Like broad range?
So I actually don't have that many clients. Like I don't take on that many clients. So I have a lot of people who are still in the first two stages right now. And I have two clients who have been with me for the last couple of years where I've been managing, you know, some of it's tech sort of left over from the maintenance stuff, but really managing the marketing and doing sort of constant improvements and starting to run ads and things like that. So, yeah, it's really tailored to the client, and I don't really pitch it. It's like if they like the process of working together and they want to keep working together, like great, but I don't want to, I've reached a point where I don't really hard sell anybody anymore. It's like, if you've got a problem and you, here's what I do and I can help you and you want to do it, great. And then if we enjoy that process and you want to continue, you know, have continued support, then we'll do that. But I don't really like hard sell it or anything.
And do you find comfort in dealing with specific type of clients or specific niche type of businesses? Are you?
Yeah, it took me 5 years to figure out, you know, how to kind of narrow things down from like anybody who needs a website to focusing on service-based businesses. And the reason I like that is because, one, I am a service-based business, and so I understand some of those pains and problems. And I think that websites and online marketing and automation used correctly for service-based businesses can have such huge value, because usually it's one person doing all or too much of the work, and they're very time poor and sometimes cash poor too, you know. So they want to make more money and they want to do it in less time. They want to have a life. And I totally resonate with that. And so I think there's so many of the automation tools and the website tools that can help smooth that process and really give people their time back. And I work less now than I ever have in my business, and I've quadrupled my income. So,
I know about your income figure because I follow your accountability thread.
I want to help people get to the top of that mountain, because that is the bane of the service industry, is like time for money and also trying to have a life.
You know, it's great to have that accountability thread and, you know, following, you know, everyone has a different target and you've set the money figure, which is good. I have never set a money figure, but probably I'll do from next year, because I do a lot of things and, you know, I don't even bother spending time and seeing how much money came from which part of, you know, things I've done. So in the end, the only accounting that happens is the end of the year when your accountant is going to file the tax and you see, oh, tax has increased.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I used to do goals differently. And I mean, I still measure other things, but the reality is there's so many business owners that are doing like the theater of business, right? And so when you're like, this is the number. Puppies are expensive, by the way.
No wonder you just got one.
Yeah. So when you just focus on, you know, this is the number, you better make sure that the things that you're doing are contributing to that number. And so it really just hones your activities in your business that you do. And so I like it.
By the way, what's the puppy's name?
Obi. Obi. Like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
You don't like Gutenberg?
Oh, wait, what? How did you get from Obi? Oh, no, I'm not naming it. Okay, so first of all, I was not in charge of the naming, because there's a little issue about the cats who are all named after characters from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay.
Which my wife was not that thrilled about. So she was in charge of the dog naming. She came up with the list and I just got to like have input. So
probably she knew back of her mind that if I give the puppy naming responsibility to you, you would might end up with Gutenberg, right?
No, there was no chance of that. Too many syllables. It's not happening.
It's the most popular word among people like us.
Is it? I think we can do better, honestly.
Of course we can, but then reality is always different, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm just happy he has a nerdy name. So,
Okay, let's dive into your toolbox. So which are your current five favorite tools that power your online business?
let's see. WordPress, ActiveCampaign,
Thrive. You just said WordPress. So is it WordPress with Gutenberg or without Gutenberg?
Without right now.
Because now we also have a without Gutenberg option called Classic Press.
Okay, Classic Press then. ActiveCampaign for CRM and email marketing. Mm-hmm. Thrive Themes. Just all of their stuff, conversion-focused tools for WordPress. Love everything that they do. what else? Cloud app for videos.
Photos and videos. Sharing.
Yep. And Zoom.
Yeah, I love it. It's my latest favorite, the Zoom. Amazing. Yeah. So which is your recommended web hosting service?
Flywheel.
So you use Flywheel for all of your clients?
Yep.
Okay. And recommended page builder?
Beaver Builder.
But you mentioned Thrive. You don't use Thrive to build layouts?
I use Thrive primarily for landing pages that I want to A/B test, because they have a really amazing A/B testing tool.
Okay.
So I actually use both, but you asked me for one favorite, so I picked... But honestly, if you ask me in 6 months, mm-hmm. you know, we'll see, because there's always this, you know, lovely,
yeah.
like people leveling each other up. And so Thrive doesn't have a theme builder, which is why I edged Beaver Builder out, just because of the Beaver yeah. themer.
Yeah, Beaver themer.
But they're building one.
Yeah, yeah, so everyone's building one. Elementor, I think, released it. Divi also released it now, which is kind of...
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. So that's the thing. So Thrive, you know, typically what I've seen from them is that they won't be the first to market, but man, when it comes out, it's going to be dialed. And I'm actually a beta tester for, I just haven't had time to play around with it. So
they're building something like Beaver Themer, right?
Yeah, they're building a theme builder. Yeah. Okay, so nice. I don't know what the release date is, but they, you know, they do top-notch stuff. And so once they have a theme builder, I might have to be all Thrive all the time. I don't know. We'll see.
Because as of now, a lot of people use Thrive with Beaver Builder, and they don't actually, you know, cause any conflict. You can easily use both of them together.
Yep. And I've used both on a ton of sites. So.
But if you use Beaver Builder with other page builders, the other competitor page builders, things do get a little wonky, you know, sometimes, but it yeah. does play well with Thrive. So yeah. what do you use for your marketing funnels and execution? Like,
do you... Thrive. Okay. Yeah, Thrive Architect and ActiveCampaign.
And for email marketing, ActiveCampaign?
Yep.
No MailChimp?
No MailChimp. I got nothing against the monkey, but they just, you know, I have a post that I'm been cooking up in my head about Delight. And there are some companies, like some of these tools that I've mentioned, where it's just constant delight, because unasked for, I will just get emails from them that are like, hey, we made this thing better, or we added this feature. And I'll be like, oh, that's amazing. That's exactly what I need. Like, they're just, you can tell they're really constantly listening to their customers and just continually making things better. And those are the companies, like, I don't have to go in and be like, oh, I wish thing that this thing worked better, because they're ahead of me. And so ActiveCampaign is one of those companies. Thrive is definitely one of those companies. Teamwork, which I didn't mention, but probably actually Teamwork should be in the top five. That's my project management tool. They're in that number. And when I do go to them and I say, you know, hey, I wish it did this, they're like, oh, that's amazing. Thank you. Like, we'll, you know, send that to the development team. So,
And you recently did a few courses also. Which platform did you use for them, for that courses?
So my flagship course is on WordPress with LearnDash. Okay. But then I also have really, really enjoyed MemberVault, which is a hosted solution that's a lot more affordable if someone's just like getting into the course space. And I think they really understand courses and marketing and relationship marketing. And I love the owners of that company, and I love what they're doing. And there was a whole thread about non-douchey funnels recently. That was great. So that's what I recommend to people if they're kind of in your, you know, in your first few years of business and you want to get started with.
I've been using
just hosting your lead mine.
I've been using Teachable for 2 years, and it's been amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. But then other options are also good, like Thinkific, Kajabi, but you know, those are pricey options.
Yeah, no, I've heard good things about Teachable. I've heard good things. And I mean, I have several Teachable courses that I'm in that are great. And yeah, I have some friends who really love Thinkific. And so there's a lot of good stuff out there. Seems like in any space that you're in, there's like at least three or four good tools to choose from.
Yeah, because now there are a lot of tools that can help you, you know, go beyond WordPress. Like normally, if you ask me like 2-3 years ago, and you would say, let's make a course, and you would by default end up using an LMS plugin on WordPress. But now, you know, if you calculate the cost of putting an LMS plugin and other plugins, that actually exceeds the monthly price or even the yearly price that you pay for these hosted solutions. And plus you have additional headache of updating security, payment, et cetera, et cetera. So last question, any upcoming tool or a service that has caught your that has caught your attention?
At some point, I will dive into the mini chat vortex.
This is the webinar I saw yesterday for ManyChat.
Yeah, I know Kim is really, really big on ManyChat, and I have some other, and you know, again, it's just like, it's just another tool, right? You still have to build a relationship. You still have to have the right messaging. But I understand that it's super powerful. I just haven't had the bandwidth to dive into
It's very powerful. It's just like, email marketing, you have the, you know, ownership of that person's inbox. Now here you have ownership of person's Facebook Messenger. And with the beauty of Facebook Messenger is like when you ping someone on Messenger, whether he's on the phone, whether he's on the computer or phone, he or she will still get the message. And if your message makes sense with human touch, that person will definitely interact with it. Obviously, those messages are not sent by real human, but those are eventually written by real human. And they have like fancy touches. Like I sent you one message and there, and Kim just mentioned it yesterday, you know, I send you one message, hello, how are you? And then, you know, you can set a 3 or 4 second delay and those, you know, three balls will do ding, 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 like someone is typing.
Oh man.
And the second message goes like for the other person at the other end, it's like, you know, real human is typing for me.
Wow. Yeah, no, you can have automation that is personal. And I've had people tell me, you know, I have a nurture series that people get when they get onto my email list. And I've had people say to me, like, I thought you were just sending those to me. And this is the trick of good email is, you know, people get overwhelmed because they're like, oh, I have, you know, 100,000 people on my list, whatever. I said, yeah, but you're only ever writing to one person.
Yeah, just like we have like those name tags that will automatically add the name of the person. The same things can be added to the Messenger also. So you are saying, hi, XYZ with a smiley. You know, you can also put emojis in there and even GIFs in there. So it's just like someone is like sending me GIFs and all that, because I saw the demo yesterday and she was intentionally putting emojis in it. And with emojis, it looks even more personal, you know, more focused, you know, it's not some computer sent me, it's just like some person sent me.
Yeah. Well, and even beyond the technical, you know, having placeholders for the name, like, you know, when I say that to clients, it's not like, oh, you can put a placeholder and put their first name in. It's literally when I write an email, I am thinking about one person and I'm trying to solve that one person's problem. And then that resonates with many people. And I think, you know, once you understand that principle, then you can kind of tell when you're looking at other emails, like, if people are doing that.
Okay, Gronda, thank you so much for your time. Any last words, last message besides the puppy marketing thing that I've discovered today?
If you want to discover the joys of puppy marketing, you can follow me at Carvel Digital pretty much everywhere. This has been a lovely conversation. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too.
You can join the free web creators community to learn and share with other web creators at webcreatorsgroup.com. And for more goodness, just head over to smartwebcreators.com. And remember, be smart, keep creating. See you next time.